and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zalman.
Hey. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our Battle of the Booth Booth Band.
Man.
We have some very exciting news for you. After 6 years of doing the show, Pete has finally eaten an entire carton of cigarettes tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clapping up.
Yeah. Wait. So if you're his voice, that's what's going on. He just decided he walked into a deli and ate all of their cigarettes.
I don't smoke, but yeah. I lost my voice.
What sort of steroids are you on? Did you yell at someone so much that you lost your voice? Like a baby, perhaps? Or a small child?
I would do
or
that.
Or a comic book? Or inanimate comic book?
Did you try to be Wolverine for 1 hour and this is what happened?
I wish.
You wish you could try to be Wolverine? You could try to be Wolverine for the whole show.
Totally.
Absolutely. Do it.
No.
Here's what you need to do to be Wolverine for the whole show. Don't die for the whole show.
Yeah.
And then you're Wolverine.
You never know.
Sweet.
I will say you sound more learned, intelligent, and I trust you more with this voice.
Ooh.
Really? To you, a raspy, almost dead old man.
Experience.
Sounds... Oh, yeah. Okay, that does sound like a college professor.
Yeah, see?
There you go.
Who do you trust? Mickey Mouse type voices?
Only. Yeah. Exclusively.
Oh, that's your mistake.
Oh, trust me. Come with this out. Yeah. All right. I can't do anything about that.
I know. You've been mugged hundreds of times.
Yes. By Mickey Mouse.
Yep.
The same Mickey Mouse.
You run with a strange... Don't go to Toontown is what I would say to you, my friend. Stay out of Toontown. That's where fucked up stuff happens.
Pretty much.
That's the Roger Rabbit tagline,
I don't know.
Right?
I can think of literally no Roger Rabbit references. I was like, something about his voice, something about, what do they call the liquid? What
dip.
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 Dip. Oh, what does he say about the dip?
Don't get in it.
Oh. When I...
Stay out of the dip.
Put my hand up on your dip. When I dip, you dip, we dip.
Wow.
Was that it?
Oh, did you just listen to Now That's What I Call Hits 1998?
I was listening to Jock Jams 4. Guys, yeah. I'm very excited about
same album
that we have on the show today. He's a comedian you might have seen at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater and other places, walking around New York City and things like
He's often on the streets.
He is. Sometimes dressed in a Mickey Mouse costume, sometimes not. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Starzynski!
Alan Fartstinksky!
There you go. Now, I want to apologize on behalf of our resident cigarette eater, Alan, because he decided to just sit down in the middle of the intro, which was rude.
It was rude. Normally, well, he's got very old bones.
We have a very coordinated dance, but
I accept the apology.
You know, they say the voice goes first, and then minutes later, the rest of your body. So we have that to look forward to today.
So let's talk about comic books. Alan, you're a comic book fan.
I am a big comic book fan, yeah. I've been collecting since I can remember.
And you can remember up to a week ago.
Yeah, I can remember up to a week ago. I mostly collect, like, I get attached to, like, weird superheroes, and I'll try to get pivotal issues of their, like, their first appearance.
Right, yeah.
Like Action Comics number one. You try
the quirky guys.
Unknown superheroes,
like really under the radar.
Superman and Zatara.
Well, give us some examples
of what you really made a big jump there.
First appearance of Zatara and Superman are both in Action Comics 1.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yep.
Zatanna's dead.
Yeah.
We need to retire.
This guy's good. I'll tell you what, this guy's good.
But what did you actually mean when you started?
Like Mimic or the Creeper, Etrigan the Demon, the Question, like those weird, like, third tier characters that are just like, I really liked that. But then also, like, Gambit. I've also got first appearance of Wolverine.
Hear that?
Wait, you have the first appearance of Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Hulk 181.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that worth $1 billion? Approximately.
In your heart it is.
Yeah, in my heart it is. There's a cool story behind how I got that, too.
Please tell it.
All right.
I'd rather you did it. Skip that part.
You made it sound like there's a great story. But I'm going to tell you about it was in my pocket.
Well, my mom actually got it for me. I had been bidding with a friend of mine at a comic book store. They would have, like, comic books on the wall, and you would bid every week for different ones. And I had gotten, like, The Killing Joke first pressing for $2.
Pressing?
Wow.
Yeah, pressing. Yeah, I used vinyl.
Cool, very, very music. going to say, are you using a Gutenberg press for your comics? Are you sure these are comic books?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you read The Killing Joke backwards, it tells you that Paul McCartney's dead.
Yeah, that I believe that. Yeah.
But I had a play that night that like the auction was ending, and it was like
what play?
It was like something that my friends wrote our senior year.
Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sounds dorky.
It was.
Yeah. Dork on dork.
And my mom, I was like, Mom, I need you to be there to like for when the bidding ends. She's like, I've never missed a single one of your plays. And I was like,
you were like,
come on.
Mom, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, shut up.
You don't
up,
get
Mom.
This.
But she did. She missed the play and she bid on it. I got the book for $250.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I had it graded for it was 8.0.
Nice.
So
is that good?
And yeah. Then you were on an actual TV show.
I was. I was on that show, the Comic Book Men.
Comic Book Men. Oh, yeah. Much hated, right?
Yes. A lot of people don't like it.
Way to be a good interviewer, Justin. Oh, that show you were on was awful, right?
So how'd you end
up? Well, I don't mean to. I'm sure you did a fine job. I wouldn't say that to a TV star.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, maybe. It depends on if they're terrible or not.
Yeah, you're on Falling Skies, right? That's bad.
Yeah, I've heard that's terrible.
Noah,
do you care to comment?
I have not seen it. I actually would like to see that.
Falling Skies? The ads make it look cool.
Yeah.
I watched the first season. It's solid.
Yeah?
Let's go back to the story.
No. Let's go up on this tangent.
Was that just like a ghost? Did a ghost just crawl into the microphone? What was that? A weird noise just blew over me.
I heard somebody say Ebenezer.
Yeah.
So you ended up on Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
Was it for the Incredible Hulk issue?
Well, I was like, I've got this. I gave them a list of all my stuff, and they're like, oh, he's got some cool, weird
stuff.
Hold up.
On Comic Book Men, it isn't just people walking in there randomly at the store.
Oh my
Alex,
gosh!
Don't be
did
a fool.
Let that slip? Did I let that slip? That it's
what?
All set up.
It's known as the most organic show on television, I believe. The most realistic show on television, right?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Not
and
at all.
They
scripting.
Might have made me submit a tape, a 1 minute like video of me saying how I was selling my comic books to purchase an engagement ring for my fiance. For the woman I want to be my fiance.
Which is not. That's a total lie.
None of that is true.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Hypothetically.
Nice.
Yeah.
It entertainment. Might eventually be true.
What?
That's a spirit, Pete.
What did you say?
He said, you're dying tomorrow.
So what was that experience like? You ended up on the show. You tried to sell it to them.
Well, I got in there, and I just started talking fucking comic books with them. I'm sorry. Can I swear? Yeah, it's a podcast.
I've been swearing a lot.
No, this goes directly to national TV.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, oh, Pete.
I mean,
it's going to be my swears from now on.
Great, yeah.
Oh, Crumpus McGumpus, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, it goes to BYU student. They don't like any swears.
Yeah, well, deal with it.
The story.
So I got in there, and I was like, I started showing them my comics, and they're kind of like impressed with what I had. And we were talking for a while. And I told them, like, that story of my mom. Also, my mom flirted with a security guard at a comic book convention one time to get me ahead of the line to get Jim Lee's autograph.
Dude, you have the best mom.
Yeah. Your mom is, like,
you have the coolest mom.
Yeah.
Can we have her instead of you on the show?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I
did you call me unprofessional a minute ago? you were just like, can we get rid of you?
For his mom, though. That's nice.
That's, yeah.
And then, yeah, I got that. I got, like, a X-Men number one autograph by him, and then I got that on a slab of 9.6. And they, like, the reason I bring that up is because they tried to buy those two things. They tried to give me $450 for the Hulk 181. I was like, I don't know. He's like, well, how much were you thinking of maybe selling it for? I go, I mean, I probably wouldn't sell for anything less than $1,000. Like, we're not going to give you that for it. I go, yeah, probably not. Like, would you do a combo of these two comics that you have sentimental attachment to for $560? I'm like, again, no, I'm not going to do that.
Great negotiator. I remember this now. Yeah, I watched this.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, at the time, I was moderating the live chat for AMC for Comic Book Man. People hate you.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
They were so mad at you. They were like, sell the books. What's wrong with you?
What do you mean?
Don't sell the books. They're worth so much more than that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. People were crazy in that chat. No offense to any of those people.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's true.
I eventually sold them that Killing Joke and like Steve Ditko, Mr. A, that was like kind of beat up.
Yeah.
And I just did it for the for $12 for the pair of those. And then
$12?
Yeah, for $12. As soon as the camera goes off, though, one of the guys was like, just like a comic book expert that is in the store, was like, oh, is that Mr. A1? I don't have that. I'll give you $20 for it. And that was what they bought for $2 and the Killing Joke for $10.
So when they bought them in the show, did they actually give you money and they actually bought them? Or was it?
But if I wanted to get it back, I could have.
Did you?
Oh. I kind of did, but it was like kind of that awkward situation. I was like, I don't know.
Were they like almost punching you?
Yeah, they were bullies. No.
Hey, get out of here, dude.
One of them like...
I'm a comic book man.
This is fuck comic you. Book man town.
I wish I was in a reality show of bullies that shot right next door to that show. And then on lunch, everyone would just go beat the shit out of those guys.
And in between, there's a locker store.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like really
meet us
placed.
Out front. The locker store is going out of business, though, because no one's buying lockers.
Across the street is the flagpole store with extra underwear, just in case.
Yeah, flagpoles and underwear. Yeah.
That flagpole store has been there for years.
Yeah, they sell flagpoles.
Finally, they're cashing in.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, why? Like, after a while, they're like, why are you doing this? I was like, and I did not commit to it at all. I was like, oh, well, I need to sell it for an engagement ring for my fiance. And none of that got into the final thing because it was just like, they had good stuff. They didn't need the bullshit story that they sent me.
And they were like, this guy's never been in love.
So, yeah, they could tell about the empty eyes.
This guy's got dead eyes. Yeah. He's never been in.
What happened? Did you put the $12 towards that ring?
I did, and we're getting married in June.
Jude wedding.
It is sort of funny.
Jude just passed.
Yeah. We're retroactively. I got a time machine.
Oh, cool. Great use of it. I would go back in time and get a better deal on those comics.
Yeah.
It is funny they constructed this whole story, and then they were like, yeah, we'll give you $12 for those comics.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, okay. There's other improvisers that appeared on that, too.
Yeah.
That were just there to... Mostly it was, like, pretty girls that are in the New York improv community. They're like, we need some pretty women that can... not look like idiots. So like, oh, okay. So
yeah.
They just had them on the show.
It's funny. I've never
all of
watched.
My illusions.
Yeah.
I know.
Here's shattered. Another thing to talk about with AMC now that I'm not working for them as much anymore.
Yeah, fuck them.
Walking Dead, also fake.
The whole show?
What?
The whole show. Completely made up.
Yeah, it's all animation.
Yeah, it is.
Which is really well done animation. Yeah.
I agree. Cry.
I have been
I think Lori was actually a puppet.
Totally.
I've been hoarding food. For just the impending apocalypse to just come up from Georgia.
I've canceled so many plans to travel to Atlanta because I thought it was overrun by zombies. Yeah. Oh, what an idiot I am.
Alan, plug some of your stuff. What should people check out?
You check out my Twitter, at Alan Starzynski.
Nice.
That's kind of the...
The hub?
That's the
You're
hub.
You're on Twitter? How'd you get on there?
Oh, my God. Well, it was 2008, and my friend was like, hey... You should get on this. I was like, oh, okay, and then I did it. That's Sweet. My story for
Great.
That.
That's a really good story.
Epic story.
What was your mom doing at the time?
Oh, you know, probably being sad that I don't live at home anymore.
Yeah.
That's what I think all of our moms are doing right now.
Certainly.
Please, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, put it on pause and go talk to your mom.
Let's be fair. Most of the people listening to this podcast are already living.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. How dare you?
I could not help but
that was. It was a decent
all right,
joke.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stab.
Woo!
All right.
And today, I think we like to call it a mega stack.
Oh, I was going to call it a super stack because that's alliterative, but you want to call it mega stack.
Because I said a bunch of M's is why I said that.
Yeah. So, super stack.
Yeah, that's cool, too.
Pete, what do you want to call it?
The stack.
This was...
You don't
want to
hear what I call it? That's fine.
The stack.
No, Alan. I don't.
No, Alan, what do you want to call it?
I want to call it the large stag.
Okay, cool. Very sassy.
All right. Okay.
The stack.
We're going to move on with this. This is Super Large Stack. Because we cannot decide. This is one of the best weeks of comics in a very, very long time. So let's kick it off. We're not going to do any specific picks. We'll just kind of
Let's just go through it. We'll know who liked him when we talk about him.
Yeah.
Will we? All New X-Men, number 13 from Marvel Comics.
Woo!
Yeah. Woo! I'll talk about this one a little bit. Because
clearly his pick. Clearly his pick.
This comic has been great. I've been blown away how Brian Michael Bendis has been bringing the strong sense of character that he brought to Ultimate Spider-Man in particular for the past decade or whatever it's been, and brought it into the Marvel Universe. This is, without a doubt, my favorite work he has done in the main Marvel Universe, just because he is capturing all of those characters individually.
I think this is his favorite title to write. I feel like in the writing you can tell he's so excited, and he's playing with the original X-Men, which is crazy that he got the access to that.
Totally. For those of you who haven't been reading it, the original X-Men from around issue 4 or 5 of Uncanny X-Men have been brought forward in time and have decided to stay here and just kind of see what happens.
And things are getting fucked up.
Which originally sounds like an awful idea.
Well, it sounds like a miniseries idea, but he's really making it work in the long term.
Yeah.
It's really great. A lot of really powerful moments. I've been really surprised by how much I've loved every issue that he's been writing.
Yeah. They're... my favorite moment from this issue, 2 or 3 shows ago, we talked about issue of Uncanny Avengers where Havoc came out and gave this speech being like, you know, I don't like the word mutants. There are no mutants, only human beings.
Yeah.
This issue was responding to that. Specifically, Kitty Pryde, who's both a mutant and Jewish, responding to the fact, she's like, no, you know what? I like being Jewish. I like being a mutant. That's part of who I am. I'm not going to just say, oh, I'm a general person, because that actually takes away from me. And I found her speech in there really, really well written and very affecting. And maybe knowing a little bit of Bendis's background, he grew up a Jewish kid in Cincinnati who didn't particularly look Jewish and felt like he wanted to make that part of his identity. He was really putting a lot of himself into that speech, and you could feel it coming through.
Yeah, it definitely, I thought it was well written. It felt a little like meta. It took me out of the actual story. Because we talked about, I think, was it last week, the Uncanny Avengers issue where Remender was responding to that whole criticism with those, and it also stuck out. And I sort of felt a little bit that way as well. But I do agree with you. I thought it was nice. And it felt very much like Bendis' voice overtaking Kitty.
I really thought it was powerful. I could have done without the M-word kind of thing. That was a little weird for me.
Oh, yeah. It makes it seem like...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but it... You can, like, give both arguments in the comic book and in real world. Like, yeah, this term is offensive, but also people are, like, trying to, like, take it back. Like, the N-word.
Well, that's what,
like,
that's what Paula Deen was doing, right?
Yeah,
come on.
She was trying to take it back.
Yeah,
she's definitely the one. She's the blackest person on television.
Oh, man.
Or not anymore. But I do think...
What?
What?
Why...
She's not on television anymore.
Yeah, I know.
You sound like a pro wrestler with that voice.
Sunday.
Yeah,
that
by that I meant that's a pro wrestler announcer. That's a monster
truck. Pro wrestler telling us about monster trucks.
Sunday. I'm going to wrestle some trucks.
This truckosaurus is going down. Yeah. I'm going to probably lose.
Speaking of wrestling, in the next book that we were talking about, Deadpool number 12.
Wait.
Hold on.
We're not done yet. My one criticism of the book, Jean Grey, I feel like, in every issue is just raked over the coals. Like, every issue has just been about her having a hard time. She hasn't had any moment to be normal.
I loved the end of this issue.
I thought this issue was great. Oh, yeah. But it feel like every issue is, like, just more and more pushing her.
It is very focused on her because she's the most interesting aspect of this.
Right.
Because she's the only dead one.
Yeah, she's the only dead
and she
one.
Knows about it.
And she's the one that caused all of these gigantic problems in the Marvel Universe, but she hasn't, in her own timeline, done that yet.
Yeah.
And it's such a weird concept. It's such a sci-fi concept that really would only work in comics, but it works so well.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I just think we need to. It's like he's been grinding on the gas pedal on her for every issue, and I think just ease off a little bit so we can come back to it. Because if he hadn't done it for like the last two issues, coming back to this and having it be about the Phoenix and that whole thing would have been great. But because every issue she's been, I just don't know what I'm doing. Ah, it's just too much for me.
Sure. That reminds me of like the old X-Men cartoons where every single woman character like would pass out in an episode. It would be Jean Grey just, falling over from using her powers too hard. The guys never had a problem, but Storm
would Wolverine was like, ow! And then he fell over. And so many, I remember.
Cool. Speaking of passing out and falling over, let's talk about Deadpool number 12. Who had the better segue, me or Pete?
Fuck you.
Yours was made up. His made sense.
Yeah. So.
And Pete also said, "Art thou bored?" While he was doing it.
There was a really amazing Randy Macho Man Savage joke in the.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Yeah. Yeah. Also,
that's why I said, "Art thou bored?"
I really love
this
issue because this is really funny. There's a lot of great jokes in here. I feel like they're really knocking it out of the park. I love the Roomba bit. Also, which was...
Shout out to the Roomba bit.
The Roomba bit was awesome. And then...
Not enough Roomba bits in comic books.
But
right?
What I love the most about this issue is even someone as crazy as Deadpool realizes you don't make a deal with the devil. It's just a dumb thing to do.
Oh, okay. All right. So before the show, I asked Pete, hey, why in a week of such amazing comics... Did you pick Deadpool number 12? And he paused for a second. I was like, this has something to do with Spider-Man, right? It's definitely going to come around to Spider-Man. So
I paused because I lost my voice, piece of shit.
I don't know if you guys remember, like about 15 or 20 years ago, Spider-Man sold his marriage 15? To the devil.
Then no,
whatever it was.
It's we've only been doing the show for six.
It's not that long ago.
No. Not doesn't matter. Nearly it just, that
you,
long
you
ago.
You bring it up so much that it feels like a million forever.
Yes, it does. That all said, Deadpool is very good right now. I particularly like this arc. Because I feel like they're bringing emotion into the book as well as just doing a goofy, fun plot.
Yeah.
So this arc's been great.
Yeah, I agree. This issue I liked. It's very funny while at the same time, like, I like Deadpool in it as opposed to being annoyed by him, which I think is my big criticism every time.
Plus, I really like the use of... You see somebody use, like, all of the powers of all the different superheroes in the Marvel Universe, and it's really cool. And done really well. And also Deadpool has some really funny lines in there.
Yeah,
that's
why
you got to bring Mimic back. I mean,
I love Mimic.
Exiles fan?
Exiles is great. Yeah. Such a good book.
Mimic was recently
speaking
in
of the cartoons. That was sad when Mimic in the cartoon.
Oh, the shitty Mimic died in the first episode.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that's Changeling you're thinking of. You're thinking of Morph.
Morph. Oh, right. Busted.
Wow.
Busted.
Wait, guys, get out of here. Like,
all right.
Dude.
Guys, I think we're
applause break for our guest slamming Pete.
There you go.
Thank you.
Let's move on. Yes.
Is Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn still the writers on Deadpool?
Yep, correct.
Yes, they are. They are ongoing.
And it's like selling well?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's selling very well. I think the first collection was number 6 on the bestseller list. New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah.
not Alex Zalbin's.
Alex Zalbin's bestseller list.
Yeah.
I sell no books.
Yeah, I love that list. It's written in crayon.
Let's move on with our next pick. Justice League, number 21 from DC Comics. Now, this has
been a while since a Justice League book made the old stack.
Yeah. This is a full issue wrapping up the initial Shazam storyline by Geoff Johns and Gary Frank. It's running a backup story for the past 20 issues or something like that.
Yeah, it's been going on since Justice League started.
Yeah, and it consistently has been not just the best part of Justice League, but one of the best things that DC is publishing.
Yeah.
This issue.
And Geoff Johns' best thing, oddly.
Absolutely.
I feel like this is the
currently
Shazam backup.
Currently.
Currently, because the thing that Geoff Johns is so good at is origins.
Yeah.
He's amazing at them. Look at the first couple of issues of Aquaman as well.
Green Lantern.
Flash, Green Lantern. Everything. He knows how to hone in on what makes a character interesting.
Or even like when he rebooted Teen Titans, it was just like he took this dead thing. He made so many things from DC just alive again. It's crazy.
That's why he has been writing so many of them long.
He's half of the writing staff at DC Comics.
Him and
so this
Charles
issue
Sewell.
We see Shazam versus Black Adam. There's a bunch of maybe not surprises, but really fun bits with the Shazam mythology that happened in there.
Yeah.
And a bunch of setup of villains. I would love to read an ongoing Jeff Johns, Gary Frank Shazam series.
Much more than the Justice League book as of late. Gary Frank's art in this is amazing. The way his take on really the Marvel family is just great. Everything that happens is really cool. Characters are interesting throughout. It's just a great, it was a great such comic. A nice issue to read.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow, we are in agreement like bros.
Well, let's see if we agreed on this one. One of the best comics of the year, according to a lot of people.
Yep.
Hawkeye number 11.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't read this book, first of all, you're crazy. Second of all, this issue is a standalone story featuring a one-eyed dog who solves mysteries. The title of it is Pizza Is My Business. Because he's called Pizza Dog. He's the dog that lives with Hawkeye, Clint Barton, and kind of is friends with Hawkeye, Kate Bishop.
In the way that dogs and humans are friends.
Right. Best friends.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
man's best friend.
There we go.
This issue was heartbreaking.
Loses points because this dog doesn't have an eye patch.
Yeah.
This is told totally from the perspective of the dog. There's barely any words in it other than words that the dog could recognize.
Makes sense.
It's mostly told through symbols of smells and sights and sounds that he's processing in very visual ways.
I mean, this is how I see the world as well, so I don't know what was so innovative.
Yeah, we barely understand anything.
I just feel like I'm just bark, bark, barking over here. No one ever knows what I'm talking about.
Good boy.
Thank you. Treat? Oh, here it is right here in my hand.
There we go. Pete, what did you think about this book? A lot of words, so I bet you liked it.
Yes. I really loved how this was set up. Even without words, you can really tell an amazing story, and this is real proof right here. Powerful stuff. I was heartbroken at the end with that last panel.
It was a very good issue. It made me want so much to read a regular issue where we get to hear what the characters are talking about.
I think we're going to get that. One of the things that Matt Fraction has been doing so amazingly with this comic is playing around with time.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen scenes in issues that take place before other issues. So there's a conversation that happens here between Clint Barton and Kate Bishop. We don't know exactly what goes on, but at the end of the issue, spoiler, Kate Bishop leaves New York completely with Pizza Dog in a car, close to California.
Pizza Dog.
Yeah.
Good friends. Good friends on the road.
Is it tied in with Young Avengers?
No. I thought you were going to say, is it tied in with Pizza Hut?
Yeah, is it tied? Is you this tied in with Pizza Hut? Do you get a book if you read this?
Yeah. You have to read Pizza Hut to understand this.
Yeah, a lot of continuity there. No, I mean pepperoni. A lot of pepperoni there.
I know he was saying that he likes to collect original comic books. I like to collect original pizzas.
Yeah, I love early pizzas.
You get like old Pizza Hut pizzas.
I have
Alex's
graded.
Apartment smells terrible.
Yeah, I have all my pizzas graded in bags. It's great. People say they're not going to be worth anything someday, but
I'm into digital pizza.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, this is the problem with Domino's is that everybody bought Domino's. It was part of the collector's bargain, and the bubble just burst.
I like more the creator-owned pizzas, stuff from like California Pizza Kitchen. Right. You know what I mean?
Real artichoke.
I don't like the big two, you know, Pizza Hut and Domino's. I just feel like it's a little overdone. They don't.
Papa John's has been putting out some good stuff lately.
They're just doing licensed bullshit.
I like Dark Horse Pizza.
Great, you're right on board with what we're talking about. Really skewering the metaphor. But this was really great, and I think David H's art is so good. It's just amazing. And in this book too,
is it pronounced Asia?
I don't know. I just go with it.
Okay.
Is it aha?
Aha. It could be Asia.
I've heard.
Could take a lot to take him away.
Could
from
be
us.
Smith. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it could be anything.
That's Africa by Toto.
Great. Great stuff. What's the song by Asia? Is that Final Countdown? Anyway.
Probably.
Is
that's
it?
Europe.
Oh, Europe, yeah.
Oh, no.
Great. So, his art, and I was reading a little backstory on this, and Matt Fraction was just like, it should be like this. And he actually did so much of the layout and choosing all the different signs and how all that sort of came together. So
David Ager sucks.
No, I think you're missing. Maybe you're not listening to the words I'm saying. You're hearing Toto in your head over.
Asia was a Steely Dan album.
Yes, and it's spelled that way. It's even spelled A-J-A. But Asia, the band, ASIA, had a song that's good from like the 80s.
There was
a one-hit
wonder. We got to get Steely Dan on the show. Yeah.
We got to get pizza on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, if there's one thing everybody loves, it's Steely Dan music.
Steely Dan pizza. Tune in next week. We'll have Steely Dan and pizza on the show. It's going to be a great show, you guys.
We're going to wake up in like a year and be like, what happened? Our show changed like so much. What happened?
Anyway,
now we're
sandwich.
All drunk.
What are you talking
about? We all live in Key West.
Batman Superman number one from DC Comics by our good friend Greg Pak and not so good friend Jay Lee.
Yeah, real bad blood between us and Jay Lee.
We just have never met him.
Yeah.
But this is going back to Batman and Superman, first time they met. Rejiggering their origin a little bit for the new 52. Mm-hmm. Pete, I know you weren't a big fan of the art. What'd you think about the rest of the book? Considering Greg Pak is one of your favorite guys.
Considering that you can't say anything bad about him.
Greg Pak is amazing. His writing is phenomenal. I couldn't get past the artwork to read this book.
I find JD's art to be amazing.
I really like scary stories to tell in the dark, and that's exactly what that reminds me of. It's so creepy.
Yeah.
This art is amazing, but it doesn't belong in a Superman Batman book. It's too artistic. It's too, I don't know how to explain it, but like it's
it is a strong take. Yes.
Yeah, it was weird to see Superman and Batman looking like that and their faces would change so much. I can appreciate what they're trying to do, but it just didn't work for me, and I couldn't read
it. Here's my thought, because I thought you were crazy when you told me you didn't like this book, right. Because I think the plot is great. It's really surprising. Greg totally nails the characters of both Batman and Superman.
I'm sure he's an amazing writer.
Between them. I love Jay Lee's art, but to your point, having a Superman book that has the dark, gothic art of Jay Lee, I agree, potentially could be seen as a little weird.
Yeah. I agree, though I do think at the last like two or three pages when they're in a different place, I thought was real Superman-y and I think much brighter and lighter. And I think
well, that was a different artist for the last couple of pages.
Oh yes,
really?
You know what? I meant to say that because I thought they did a good job of blending it.
Yeah,
it didn't look fucked up, but it is the guy is whoever the other person is very much mimicking Jay Lee's style, mm-hmm. But it is much sunnier.
It probably has something to do with the inker. I don't know who inked this offhand, but I'm going to...
Oh, man, when I read this, I meant to be like, I bet no one noticed that it was a different artist, and then I turned my brain off.
There you go. What? Who inked it?
Daniel Brown is the other...
Dan Brown? Of the Da Vinci Code?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got...
June Chung and Daniel Brown did the colors. Jay Lee and Ben Oliver were the artists. Nobody inked it. There's no inks in this book.
Wow.
An inkless book.
Wow. It sounds like a great mystery we should solve. Or get our dogs.
Batman and Superman.
Or our dogs could solve
it. Where'd the ink go?
Yeah.
Let's move on. This is definitely one of your picks. You were super excited about this book. Lazarus, number one from Image Comics.
Yeah.
Justin, what'd you like about this?
This is Greg Rucka and Michael Lark. These guys, great thing in the back pages in this book are great. Greg Rucka talks about how this book came about and just what it's like to put a comic book together, the process, and how working with an artist like Michael Lark, who you may remember from Gotham Central, they worked on a bunch of arcs there, which was amazing. It's like,
so what about the book itself?
I'm getting to that in a moment. We're just doing some setup here. This is some backstory. Yeah. Michael Lark, also one of my favorite artists from books like Terminal City, Vertigo book from back
then. Quick question. On the back of the book, there's an ad for Image Expo. What did you think about that?
Well, I thought the kerning on the letters was a little tight.
Really nice. What did you think about the inclusion of Curtis Weeby as one of the special guests?
Hold on. I got it. Before I get to that, the UPC code on this is fucked up. It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Get back to the book.
So the book, what I love about the writing, to set it up a little bit, it's set in a sort of dystopian future where the top 1% of wealth is held by the top 0.00001% of people, and then everyone else is just dirt poor. And
so it's about like real life.
So it's America?
Bit. Yeah, okay. You guys are right on board.
So it's like right now?
Okay, good. Everyone's really right here with
us.
So
it's like
great.
Pizza.
Yeah, good. Oh, wow, everyone really on top of the metaphor once again. And so it's about each family. There are a few powerful families in this world, and they have one person in their family that's like their sword. It's like someone who has been treated with all these new biological advancements to be almost indestructible and a great warrior.
Get a quick interruption, because I actually didn't get a chance to read the back matter.
Uh-huh.
None of that's in the comic, which is kind of interesting.
No, it is. Is it? That's the setup. And then, I mean, he does go into it more, but the in the first sort of
Alex
bit.
Alex just, like, doesn't read the first four pages
there's,
of every comic.
There's this. This is important. This is an important part.
See, okay.
You know what? I should right. Next time
here's
you need
thing.
To read a comic,
no,
I'll help you. I'll
I
help
have,
you.
I have a little problem with a recap page for a first issue.
It's not a recap page.
It's setting it up.
It's a setup page.
Yeah,
I hate
still.
Star Wars in the beginning of that movie. I
always, but, right? Boom!
Yeah, I always come 5 minutes in because who wants to read it, the movies?
Who no. wants to know what this is about? Lord of the Rings, that beginning part's so stupid.
Yeah. A long like, time ago in a galaxy, I'm not interested.
Here's what I want. I want movies that are not based on books because I don't like books and I don't like reading.
Can I talk about that book before we move
no.
on?
Talk about the movie Star Wars?
Yeah. No. What did you think week. Of Star Wars?
Or can you talk? Do you want to talk about the mistakes that we've made in our past and how we can correct them so we're better people for the future?
So I'm choose any of those.
Ghosts. That was real heavy handed. Right
choose
there.
Any
what
of those.
What I really liked about this book was it's nice to have a strong woman, badass character that like
doesn't faint.
Yeah, doesn't faint. Doesn't. It just was a really great. Character that is fantastic and wasn't I really enjoyed it and I thought it was a cool choice and I'm
yeah.
looking forward to the
yeah,
series.
It's a very good book. Yeah.
So were you confused because you didn't know how to read the book?
Yeah. There were way more words than the pizza dog issue and
yeah.
no dogs, so I was very
no, you
confused.
Got burnt out.
Yeah, he was,
but otherwise
there were zero dogs in that.
Yeah. But otherwise I loved the last page. I thought that was really cool. The ad for the Image Expo, I thought that was neat.
Yep.
I like that Curtis Weeby was on there.
Yeah, neat ad.
Yeah, it was fun.
You heard it here first, folks.
Neat
ad.
What?
So you heard it here first, folks.
Uh-oh.
Whoops.
Everyone's slowly shutting down.
All right, next thing we're going to talk about, last issue of the stack, The Unwritten number 50.
Make a stack.
From Vertigo Comics. This has been one of my favorite books pretty much since the first issue. It has developed and grown tremendously from its initial concept. Now, the main character, Tommy Taylor, has been sucked into the world of the Fables, which is a really cool, really exciting crossover because they're both comic books about stories about stories, so it's an obvious fit.
Yeah.
But the thing that's so weird and so interesting here is Tommy Taylor has been sucked into Fables, but not the Fables reality the way we know it from the comic books.
Yeah, it's, there's been a twist in the reality, and it remains to be seen what the deal is. I don't really want to spoil it because it's also very complicated.
Yeah.
But I spent half the issue being like, what? Do I have like a headache
kind of
or something?
Yeah, broke my brain a little
bit. I was like, what? It didn't make any sense, and they only explain it in like the last two thirds, which I thought was cool because I really liked it. And then they make another strong move that is awesome. Which maybe we will spoil. You get to see, if you're a fan of Unwritten, you get to see Tommy Taylor become the Harry Potter-like version of Tommy Taylor, which is awesome. It was really cool.
I really felt like this was as epic as I wanted this crossover to be. The art's amazing. They made like a lot of fantastic choices for a first issue. I am really on board, and I feel like this issue didn't let it down at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. It's great.
You literally are smarter today. I don't know if it's just your voice. I think you're actually, maybe this cold is making you smarter.
Weird.
What?
He's pizza, telling pizza. You to beware.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's it for the stack. And now, we're going to turn to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Me man.
Boothman.
Boothers.
Yeah. Boothman, not any other name.
Yeah. No, you don't have another name.
No, my name is Boothman. Boothman. Boothman, Boothman, actually. So I've got some questions.
Good.
Great.
Great.
Good. Great. Do you think the time is right for DC to adapt The New Gods into a film?
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Wow.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No. They screwed up Superman. Are you kidding? They're not going to be able to handle a complex mythology with crazy characters if they screwed up Superman.
They screwed up the movie Superbad?
Yeah, I didn't see
Superbad.
It either. Yet.
They screwed up Superbad.
Yeah.
DC went to the video store and broke all my VHS copies of Superbad.
You own a video store?
I do. It's next
you
to
have
my
a VHS
store
player?
At my flagpole store. So what do you think? New Gods? Can DC handle it?
I mean, they've proven that they can't handle anything at all.
What?
Like, other than Batman, which was Christopher Nolan, like, pretty much taking care of that. They can't, like, they just can't be trusted with any of their fucking toys is what's happening. And I don't blame them. I think it's mostly like the movie companies that are to blame because they have no passion sure. involved in it. Like, that's Marvel, all the people have, emotional stakes in it, you know?
Well, I think that is. That's absolutely right. That's the big difference. Is you have people like Kevin Feige and, I mean, Joss Whedon, obviously, and most of the people involved who love these characters and want to make them awesome. The people on the WB side, and even Christopher Nolan, have been like, oh, superheroes suck. Yeah. They hate comics. They don't like them. They don't want to do them. They want to use them as metaphors for something else, but that's it.
I mean, The Dark Knight is so fucking amazing.
And that worked out fine, and he did a great job of that, but I feel like Batman is a different case. On the other hand, you have something like Green Lantern, where you did have people on the DC end who do all love the property. You had Mark Guggenheim, you had Jeff Johns all involved in it, and it just did not work. So I don't know. So New Gods, absolutely.
Yeah, so I mean, it's such a much beloved property amongst like kids. Young kids love the New Gods.
Yeah, what do you think kids' favorite New God is?
Oh, who's the one who's like got stuff shooting around? He's got like little sticks
like little
coming out of him.
Coming off of it, but
no, I don't know. How many New Gods can you name? Honestly, Orion,
yeah.
Big Barda,
Mr. Miracle.
Uh huh.
All Father.
Losing steam.
The Wait. High Father.
Oh, High Father. Yes, High Father. Yeah. Metron.
Oh, good.
Metron. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh God,
I could probably name There's more a, people from
what's
Apocalypse.
The bug one.
Ambush Bug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ambush Bug.
Oh, is that the cricket?
Okay. Well,
the cricket
can we,
from England.
Can we include Apocalypse? Canterbury Cricket.
Yeah. Is he one? Is he one? Yeah.
Can we include Apocalypse?
Because yeah. Sure.
They do that. Desaad, Granny Goodness. Dark,
They're the bad
dark
guys.
Side. What?
Caliban. Yeah. No, not Caliban.
Female Furies.
Pizza Dog.
Be confused with the Battle
Furies. Oh,
yeah.
Kalibak.
Pizza Dog.
That's it, right?
Pizza Dog. There we go. Pizza Dog movie. From
there we go.
Dog.
We clearly love them, and we're fans of everything.
There
almost.
You go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Do you want to see anybody from Avengers Arena stay dead?
Ooh, good
interesting.
Question.
That is a good question.
This is something that almost made it to the stack. I don't know why it didn't make it in, because this week's issue was so good.
So good.
Oh, yeah.
Pete pulled awesome. It out because he hates it.
I did.
Pete's the worst.
I think none of them are going to be dead.
They you better know, not be. They better not be.
I think
because
all of
if
them
they kill
be
if they kill Metal, I'm going to lose my shit.
They killed Metal at the end of the first issue.
I know, and it's fucking bullshit.
Why did you like it?
Better
so
bring
much?
Him back.
They killed somebody last issue. I was really upset with
Nico.
Yeah.
Oh Nico. My God, that was so sad.
You can't kill any runaways on my watch.
Absolutely.
Well, here's the thing. When they killed her, I was like, oh man, they're gonna bring them all back because I don't think they would kill
you,
a
you
runaway.
You have to bring them all back.
But I will
That's
say
That's why I'm not in love with the series because they're just gonna bring them all back.
Well, we don't know that the runaways aren't popular like they used to be anymore.
That's because they didn't do anything with them.
That's what I mean. So I think they can kill them, and I think. This book, if they do bring them all back, and it's, I mean, he's such a good writer, and he's been doing such a good job with this book. If he brings it back in a smart way, like, I'm all right with it. But
well,
I think it's such a stronger
right?
choice.
There's robots.
Yeah.
So you definitely could do that.
I
yeah,
think
that's
it's virtual
I mean.
Reality. I think they're all locked into virtual reality. That's what happened. That's my theory, yeah. It's like a real intense.
But you know, if you die in the game, you die in real life.
Oh, no.
Is that a movie tagline yet?
Sure.
Probably.
Is that existent? Did that happen in existence?
One more man.
Probably both.
Guys, we have a great grasp of pop culture, almost. But we almost have a great grasp of pop culture.
Yeah. What was the actual question about Avengers Arena?
Do you want any of them to stay dead?
To stay dead.
Oh, okay. We didn't actually answer that.
No. Yeah.
The ones that
who
we
do they
don't
kill?
Care
Metal,
about.
Metal, Justin, Nico.
Chris Powell.
They should keep Justin dead.
Really?
It's spelled differently. Oh. And he's not a classically trained actor. unless they
no,
reveal
it. I like all of those characters. I guess Kid Britain you could keep dead.
Yeah, Kid Britain.
Oh, come on.
I say keep them all dead.
Yeah. No.
I hope so.
Keep
I
them all dead.
Not because it's comics.
Keep them all dead and let the new gods sort them out.
Nice bumper sticker. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Who would you like to see star in or direct a Wonder Woman movie?
Oh, boy. Could it be somebody that stars in and directs a Wonder Woman movie?
That's great.
Hilary Swank.
You want to,
really?
You want to, great. Yeah. Great choice. Everyone would go nuts
Thank
for
you.
That.
Be like, oh, shit, Hilary Swank is Wonder Woman? I love it.
Who in Hollywood could play Wonder Woman?
Who has the acumen?
What?
To play Wonder Woman.
Tiptoe around your words carefully.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't even mean like you're clearly, are you trying to say like breasts or body or something?
I think
it does need to be someone, not even that, but just like a big Amazonian type woman. It needs to be someone who's like a giant.
Here's my thought. I don't think you actually need to do that. I don't think you need to physically make her look like Wonder Woman in the comics because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I feel like the popular choice right now, which makes a lot of sense from a movie perspective, is Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Shut up.
I love her.
She's amazing.
I love
her. She's like a terrific, like, I just love reading about her.
She's a good actor.
I'm in love with her.
I like her too, but isn't Wonder Woman like 38, 40, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely going to cast a 40-year-old woman as Wonder Woman in their big budget movie.
Did you know Mark Ruffalo is not the Hulk?
In real life?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting Garofalo to play Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Strange choice. No, so I want Jessica Tandy if she's still alive.
The girl who was in Fast and Furious 6 and also in Haywire.
Gina Carano?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is a girl I really thought. Abigail Breslin.
What? Yeah, she's the
ultimate Hollywood. What about Rosario Dawson?
Nope.
Yeah. No?
Sure.
You said no?
She's like
too
40
skinny.
Years old, right?
Yeah, she's like not
that's the only thing I care about is that they cast an older. Can we get Helen Mirren as Wonder Woman?
No, Mirren does a great Wonder Woman.
Well, you might as well go
awesome.
Linda Carter if you're going to be on.
Yeah, let's just call her up.
Get the original.
You know, she doesn't even need to do any preparation.
Helen Mirren could stop a bullet.
She could.
Despite
with her acumen.
She's going to be too busy being the doctor.
What?
Doctor Who?
I think she's going to be the new Doctor, Helen Mirren.
You think
Mirren.
So?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That's crazy.
Look at her IMDb. She's got nothing in pre-production or in production right now. And there's been rumors about it, and this is Matt Smith's last year.
That's a crazy prediction.
That would be amazing, though. I would love that.
I mean,
it's not normal for a movie star to go back to a television show
she's
like
expressed
that.
She could
do it.
Sure, but BBC,
it's like big though.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
And
I
here's
know
the thing. BBC, you can arrange it around she's done BBC shows before and they do like 6 episodes with Helen Mirren a year. They're fine.
All right, I guess it's going to happen.
There you go. Confirmed to your first, folks. We had Dead Starkey, who plays Strax on the show the other week.
Yep.
He basically confirmed it to us.
Yeah, now that we have a connection to him, we can just use it. I like that.
There you go. Cool. One more question. I'll raise your hand if I ask that. Free comics.
Next. Nice. Great. Stack them up.
Do you think Boothman will be revealed as the real Big Bad Boss in the last issue of Lock and Key?
Ooh. Oh, my God.
I never thought
that
of
would
that.
Be amazing.
I never thought of that. Yeah, I mean, we've obviously all been in the story, and Boothman needs to have his place.
I think so. I think you're going to be the last key, Boothman.
Wow!
And they stick your head in the black
the
door.
Booth key, where you open, you create a door, and you're like, "Why am I doing tech for this show now?"
Yeah,
I have so many better things to be doing with.
What
my
is
time.
This hell?
The last issue will be just. It will pan. To them looking to the sky, and it'll be Galactus. Just pointing down.
Yeah. Didn't see me coming, did you?
Wait, did you say Galactus?
Yeah, I said Galactus. It's the Lockjaw and Galactus fused together.
Nice, sweet. All right. Guys, before we wrap up audience questions here, I want you to think about what your favorite question was from audience questions while I read off this thing, because this section is sponsored by Tours for Fun, which says Superhero Tours of New York City. We've got a gift certificate for one of you lucky audience members. Tours for Fun, tours around the city, shows you sights from Spider-Man movies, Fantastic Four movies.
Avengers.
Oh, is that a movie now?
Yep, coming soon. Coming soon to your VHS player. Talk to your video store. Maybe you can get a copy.
If you ask real nicely, they'll take you to the sights from American Splendor.
Yeah, oh, gotta see those.
Ghost World.
Oh, just wonderful.
Can I see
Daredevil.
Constantine?
Yeah, they'll show you all the sites from Constantine.
I did love Constantine. I will say that. It's a great Elseworlds movie, all right? Don't think of it as a...
Don't use that. Don't use the word Elseworlds to, like, apologize for the movie.
I was so grossed out by you saying that, I accidentally just licked my microphone.
You licked it?
I went, blech, and I licked it.
It's not gross,
did you just do it again?
He did just do it again.
Yeah, I did.
Dude, you gross.
I don't know. I'm developing a taste.
What was the noise you made?
What? He almost fell for it.
Whoa, he really did.
He almost fell for it.
He just used that booth key on me.
Yeah, he does a lot. He pulls a lot of practical jokes like that on you.
So what was your favorite question?
Like me working here.
I'd say it was the Wonder Woman one because it like legitimately stumped me, and I switched it over to talk about Doctor Who because I didn't know it.
Well played.
All right.
Wonder Woman.
The Wonder Woman thing. Come see us after the show. We're going to get you free tickets to the Superhero Tour.
Two free tickets.
For your audience questions. Thank you. All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Hooray. All right, in the Week in Geek, we're talking about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. Now, Justin, let's kick it off. I heard that you have some inside news about Star Wars that you're going to share with us.
I heard some rumors about the upcoming Star Wars movies. I actually don't know how much of this has been announced, but I know some of it hasn't. So this is a straight-up comic book club scoop.
This, just to check, this comes from a reliable source.
This is, yes, it's a reliable source that will go on.
Or is it from a drunk guy that you talk to in a bar?
A reliable source who was also drunk. And this is not a bit. This is this is actually what is going to be coming true.
Is this from Edward Snowden?
Yeah, exactly.
It was from George Lucas's neckbeard.
Yeah, he said, "Help me, and here's some secrets." So here are the rumors. Let's call them rumors, but this is what is going to be happening. Shooting. Five movies are coming out.
What?
And they're going to do the trilogy, and in between, they're going to do two standalone movies.
Okay.
The trilogy is also going to be shot just like Lord of the Rings, all at the same time.
Ooh.
All directed by JJ. The writer's room is being overseen. It's a writer's room writing all of the movies. A writer will handle every movie, but they're all working together. Run by Lawrence Kasdan.
Whoa. Cool.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
The other two movies, so the trilogy is going to come out with 2 years in between. And in between, they're going to do a Boba Fett movie.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Which many people want. But more excitingly, perhaps, a Chewie meets Han movie.
Yes!
That got me really excited.
Straight, seriously.
Chewie meets Han?
They're going to do, like, young Han and
so
Chewie.
So they're just straight up ripping off Monsters University.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's your comment on all that information?
Yep.
Are you supposed to be saying this?
Probably not.
Are you worried about what's going to happen to you?
No, I don't know.
Oh, man, he might actually die. This is more good news.
My sister had a brief fleeting romance with the child star who played Boba Fett in the second movie.
Oh, really?
What? Wow.
Yeah, they met at a cop. Like, my mom and my sister went to a comic book convention with me.
Uh-huh.
And, like, she met him at the booth, and they went, like, they started talking and stuff. And they, like, they were showing, like, a 40-minute, like, screening of a movie, and they got caught making out in there.
Whoa! Really?
Yeah, they would write letters to each other, too.
Wow. How old was your sister at the time?
Oh, 13? 13, 14
creepy.
Maybe?
Your mom hooking everybody up.
Yeah. Yeah, and you dated Topanga for a while from Boy Meets World, right?
Oh, yeah, because my mom set it up.
Yeah, she's a big Hollywood swinging dick.
Jesus Christ.
Anyways, if that's true, that's all great news.
Yeah, all good news.
Yeah.
If it's true.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see. Believe me.
Yeah, well,
or
what
not.
Do you guys think about that?
I think it's all amazing.
Well, I'm
all on board.
Boba Fett, I don't know. Why does everyone like Boba Fett?
What?
Why is he cool? Because what do you know about him? He has a jetpack and a helmet.
He's a bounty hunter.
And yeah, that, cool. That's literally all you know. From the original trilogy, all you know is he's a bounty hunter. He has a jetpack and he's a dick.
Yeah.
Those are the three things.
And he says he says things in a cool voice. So
I would be super into it if it was Boba Fett and the Sarlacc Pit teaming up to solve crimes.
Mysteries. Awesome, right? Mysteries.
Green Machine.
What? Yeah.
With the van, Green Machine.
From Scooby-Doo.
Grand Radio Machine. I thought you were suggesting
that was a mystery machine.
Who shot first, Greedo or Han?
Yeah, I know. That's the great mystery they would sell. I know you don't like me because I killed you, but who do you think shot first, honestly?
Is that the Sarlacc pit or Boba Fett?
That was Sarlacc.
Yeah.
I don't quite have liked it.
They have to cast that Han Solo part so... They've got to be so careful with
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Well, that's
I was joking.
Choice.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, he's the only one who has practiced being a young Harrison Ford. Yeah.
Great point.
Him and River Phoenix.
Yeah, wow, jeez. Wow, how dare you?
You're
that's
an
way
asshole.
Too soon.
That's
so
up.
Too soon.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys.
It wasn't that you said it was the way you said it.
Oh, wait, Sean River. Patrick Leonard. Robert Patrick? You know, Sean Patrick Leonard?
For what movie?
No.
The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Sean
Patrick Flannery.
Yeah. Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Great
we
job.
That.
Once again, we've just showed a mastery of pop culture, almost.
Oh, man. I hope you're tuning into this podcast for Star Wars rumors and hate us. All right, let's move on. A couple of other quick things. Christian Bale says, no way about doing a Justice League movie. Fuck you guys.
Oh,
yep.
Man.
He said it just like that. Actually, he said, no way about doing a Justice League movie.
I think he said it like Pete.
Guys. Yeah. Sorry, guys, not doing it.
You sound cool. Yeah, so, is that bad or good?
Does that mean...
Man, that's crazy. Him jockeying for money in the internet land? That's nuts.
You think? I feel like he actually doesn't want to do it.
I think it's just over bad.
He doesn't want to do it until they offer him $50 million.
No.
Perhaps, but does everyone love him so much? Because I don't think so.
Sure. No. Yes, of course, it's a marquee name. If Christian Bale is playing Batman in the Justice League movie, everybody's going to go see that.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yes.
I think it's just him being over it.
Yeah, I think he's done.
I'm sure he is, but he's like, at the same time, bags of money.
You're absolutely right. I don't think he enjoyed...
He did it. He's done with it.
Yeah. I think he liked working with Christopher Nolan. If Christopher Nolan's back on it, then you've probably got him. I think that's why. Because he... Just, like, look at his track record. He just likes working with Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, otherwise he loses his shit and starts yelling at people.
Well, and also, have you watched those lately? He's sort of goofy. He's a little much. His lips move more in that movie than any other part of his body. He does a lot of fighting with his hands, but most of it is him being like...
Good visual gag.
Yeah, visual.
Thank you.
There we go. For those of you listening at home, that was hilarious. All right, next little item of news before we go. Vin Diesel has taken a meeting with Marvel for some reason.
Interesting.
All right, why is Vin Diesel taking a meeting with Marvel?
Absorbing
Man
movie.
Do they
want to
talk about Riddick, probably? You're like, what's going on with Riddick?
Yeah, he's
going
to be the new Spider-Man.
Oh, that would be so sweet.
Well, I mean, he'd make a great Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah. They already cast
that.
What?
Yeah.
Maybe they recast him.
Maybe.
Now, he really took a meeting, or he was just like, I'd like to take a tour of Marvel?
He took a meeting.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about, what do you think his favorite part of the tour was?
The Hulk room.
The Hulk room.
You know, he probably got to meet Spider-Man, and he's like, oh, I've always wanted to meet Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm going to throw up. Spider-Man's dead. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, God. Oh, I can't help it. It's almost coming out.
He's always about to throw up.
I'm triple X.
I'm triple X.
That's all he says. He says, I'm about to throw up and I'm triple X all the time. Hey. He's like a Pokemon. If that's like
he is.
Fuck you guys.
Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel.
What are your top five? What are your top five favorite Vin Diesel roles, Pete?
Fuck you guys. I like Vin Diesel.
That's what I'm saying. What are your top five favorite roles?
I thought Fast and Furious 6 was awesome.
Fast and Furious guy, whatever his character's name is, sure. That's one role.
What? Oh, yeah, Iron Giant.
Iron Giant.
That's not your answer, that's him. If I said to you, it was Vin Diesel and Iron Giant, you would have been like, I don't know.
I like Triple X.
Triple X, great. That's two.
Pitch Black is good. So is Chronicles of Riddick.
Riddick. Yeah, Pitch Black is good.
Chronicles I like those movies.
And,
so we're up to three. We're up to three roles.
And what?
And Fast and the Furious 1 through 5.
Yeah.
He's in some of those.
I feel like he was playing the same or similar character.
No, I mean, it's clones.
In Fast and the Furious, he plays a car, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he, really was the he was the voice of one of the cars in Fast and Furious. Right.
I remember his dialogue was beep, beep, and honk.
Yeah, and then he was all like, oh, I'm going to puke oil.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Well, what do you guys think Vin Diesel is going to play in a Marvel movie, if you could have him play anything in a Marvel movie, other than Drax, which has already been cast?
He would have been perfect.
Captain America, Iron Man, Thor.
Great, yep, really
good. No, Thanos. I mean, he's going to be Thanos, right?
Yeah. Or,
I mean, it would make sense.
Or the voice of Groot is the other popular
that
choice.
Would be great.
It would be amazing.
I'm Groot.
I am Groot.
I am
Groot. Okay, we need you to do the voice for the movie. I am Groot. Say it one more time, but angrier. I am Groot. Great. We'll see you later. We'll send you the check.
You're done. You're done.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, he looks exactly like Absorbing Man, so.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Here's my theory.
Wonder
my
Man.
Theory for Avengers 2, it's not going to be Thanos. I don't think they're going to use Thanos in Avengers 2. I think they're going to keep building him up. I think they're going to use Thanos in Avengers 3.
You can't do that.
That's probably what they're planning.
With an Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, with like an Infinity Gauntlet.
I thought
everybody
they announced that they weren't doing Thanos. I thought that was announced that Thanos was not going to be.
No.
I thought I read maybe it was a rumor.
Well, the more I hear about it, it seems like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I think about Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. This is how I think it ties in. I think you're going to have like breakout from the raft type thing. Maybe some of the villains who have been on S.H.I.E.L.D., that's why they're going to build them up over the course of Avengers 2. You're going to have cameos of them. You're going to have a bunch of them breaking out of the raft. You're going to have a Masters of Evil type situation. So you get an evil Avengers team fighting against the Avengers. I think that's what you get in the sequel.
That would be cool.
I would love to see Vin Diesel as Absorbing Man or the Wrecker or something like that going up against them. Even if he's just like running out of the background, that would be a cool
just like,
cameo.
Whee!
Yeah. It just seemed like, I'm Vin Diesel. What am I doing?
It just kills me that they can't use like anything mutant, anything Fantastic Four.
That's fine. There's plenty of other things
to
do.
There's so much stuff.
Yeah. I know, but it's like a real fucking bummer. Or Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, Stilt Man. Yeah, gotta throw that guy in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. That's it for the Week at Geek. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Mr. Pete LePage.
All right. So this part we give back to you, the lovely audience.
What's that, Pete?
Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand.
By the way, if you'd like to donate that $25 to the Save Pete LePage Fund, please let us know. Write us at our website.
Hey, Pete, first off, what was it like recording the song Funky Col Medina?
Wow! Holy shit. Yo, Tom Loke's dope, though. Don't mess with me.
All right, what is your name?
I'm Jerry High.
Jerry, audience, Jerry.
Jerry High.
Hi, host.
All right.
Yo.
So how this is going to work is this week in comics, so all the comics that came out this week, we got a question, listed all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. You win $25 free. Thank you, Boothman.
You're welcome, Pete.
In Uncanny X-Men number 7, which was awesome, side note, magic goes to whom for help? Is it A, Doctor Strange, B, Cyclops, or C, Inigo Montoya? So it's either A.
It's A, right?
It is correct.
Woo!
Doctor Strange. In Wolverine and the X-Men, which Aaron is killing, by the way. Wolverine uses what to have the BAMPS attract the Hellfire Club? Is it A, an article of clothing, B, whiskey, or C, the Brute Squad? So it's either A, which is in Wolverine style, or it's B, whiskey. Yes.
Correct.
Oh. All right, here we go. Last one. In all new X-Men number 13, which we talked about, who gets a giant mound of cash? Is it A, Madame Hydra, B, Sabretooth, or C, Andre the Giant? So you can go with A, which is the correct answer, or you can go, yes.
So it's A.
$25, sir.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Unbelievable. Out of nowhere.
Just
guys,
out of belief.
Good references today,
As we all
Pete.
Know, tomorrow is new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics, because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Thunderbolts number 12 because Charles Soule promised that he, because he's got Steve Dillon, that he would do some amazing Punisher stuff. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Cool. Justin, what about you?
I'm looking forward to Satellite Sam coming on from Image, Matt Fraction's new book. This book has been getting so much hype online. Everyone seems to love it. I can't wait to get it. I don't know much about it. There hasn't been much announced, but it looks like a great book.
There you go. I'm looking forward to Iron Man number 12. This has been going with the secret origin of Tony Stark, and I think this has been a really cool, really interesting storyline so far.
Has been.
Very neat sci-fi story in particular, which I think is great. Alan, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
Probably Guardians of the Galaxy, Tomorrow's Avengers. I've just been liking them a lot, that they're incorporating more in like the regular Marvel universe and trying to push them front for the movie coming out because they're just really well written.
Yeah.
And well done.
Cool. And plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
My Twitter account at Alan Starzynski.
Nice.
There we go.
Is that Alan with two L's and an E?
No, it's spelled the proper way. A-L-A-N.
Wow. Slam all the other Alans out there.
Oh, y'all.
That's a last name, motherfucker.
All y'all Alans get up in his piece.
All right, guys, next week on the show, Pizza and Steely Dan are going to be here.
It's going to be great.
No, it's not true.
Awesome. Also, Ed Cotto Joe Ahern from Captain Action are actually going to be here. Thank you to our fabulous interns, Ebon Bell, Brad Dannenhofer, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, Dave McKay, Patty Tenicella, and Riley Trahan. Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all of our amazing guests. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, youtube.com/Nerdist for our movie review show, Biggest Summer Ever. We'll have a review of Pacific Rim coming up very soon.
Very soon.
Probably the week it comes out, which would be next week, so do that.
Great.
Check it out. A couple of people we want to thank. Before we go, we want to thank Alan for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Booth man.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys.
Thanks for coming out.
Every Tuesday night in New York City, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you guys.